My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas, and we're getting to start another teaching. And the teaching I'm going to be talking about today is the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. Now, you need to get your Bibles out, and you need to get pencils and paper so you can write some of these verses down, because they're tremendously important. Tremendously important. I want you to turn into your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. To Romans chapter 16, and it's going to start with verses 24. Romans chapter 16, verses 24. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Think about that now. This is a mystery. This is talking about the mystery of the gospel that has been kept secret since the world began. You see, God knew the gospel was going to be taught before the world began. No doubt about it. And it's kept a total mystery. And only Paul was given this mystery. That's why you won't find the gospel taught about in the Old Testament. It won't be even spoke of. You won't see it in Christ's walk on this earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It won't talk about the gospel, because it was kept secret until Paul got it, and then he revealed it to us and it came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, this gospel, directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get an idea of what this mystery is. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. Go to the first part of your Bible, and you turn to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 29. Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which were revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." See, that's what a mystery is. It belongs to God until it's revealed to us. Until it's revealed to us. And it wasn't revealed till it was revealed to Paul, this gospel that we have today for our salvation. It wasn't revealed to Peter, James, and John. It wasn't revealed by Jesus. He couldn't have, because he hadn't died yet. The gospel couldn't have happened. So, anyhow, he couldn't reveal it. I'm going to show you some places where mystery dealt with Jesus directly. Let's go back to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And let's look at verses 31. Luke chapter 18 and verses 31. It says, "Then he who took unto him the 12 and said unto them," this is red letter edition, this is what Jesus is telling the disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked, and spitefully treated, and spit upon. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And on the third day he shall rise again." And look what 34 says. "And they understood none of these things, and these sayings were hidden from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." You see, they didn't have a clue what he said. God totally hid it from him. Think about this. Why would he do such a thing? Well, you got to understand that who we were talking about. This is God speaking. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in flesh. He knew before he came on this earth that the Jews weren't going to accept him. He knew that. But see, his main goal wasn't to come on this earth and because he knew that to be the Messiah, because he knew they would reject him. His main goal was to utilize that rejection, that he would come to the cross, and that he would die and pay the sin debt for mankind. You see, that was his number one reason to come on this earth, because he knew the Jews wouldn't accept him. And he was going to use their mentality to do what they did to him, that he could die to pay the sin debt for you and me. It's just beyond your imagination. That's how much he loved us. He was willing to die on that cross to pay that sin debt. And he went through a horrible death to do it. You couldn't find anything worse than crucifixion. But he did. And he died for us. Look at John chapter 20, and you can see that how they didn't understand. Look at John chapter 20. Let's look at verses 8. John chapter 20, verse 8. Then, when he also, that the other disciple who came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. It says, verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. You see, they never did know. And they would, if they had have known, they would have done everything they could do to keep Jesus from being crucified. I mean, you can't comprehend that. But they didn't know. And Jesus couldn't have been kept from it. He had to die. You see, they didn't know. They didn't even know, even after his death, they didn't know he was going to come alive again. If they did, they wouldn't have been sitting up there in the upper room, scared to death. They'd have been down there in the cemetery waiting for that tomb to be opened up and Jesus walk out. I mean, you would have, and I would have, for sure. But they didn't know. And that's what the secret thing's on. The people didn't know until it was revealed. Until it was revealed. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 11 and get an idea where the... Go back to Romans chapter 11 and get an idea what happened to the Jews now. Once this mystery is revealed, what's happened? Well, look at chapter 11. You can see exactly what happened. And Peter, James, and John didn't know this either. They had no idea. It was a mystery. It said, what then? Israel hath not obtained what they had seeketh. But the election, who's the election? Peter, James, and John, the 12, and those people that believed, they have obtained it, but the rest were blinded. The rest were blinded. Well, think about that. Who were the ones that were the election? That was Peter, James, and John, and there was only about 120 people. When Peter and James and John decided to come up with another disciple to replace Judas, you can read this in the first chapter of Acts. They only had 120 believers to choose from to find Messiah. Only 120 out of 5 million. Out of 5 million people, only 120 believers. But they were all blinded. They were all blinded. It says, according to as written, God has given them a spirit of slumber eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And that's exactly what it is. But they didn't know that. It was a secret. Let me show you what it says here in 25. For I would not, brethren, that this mystery or secret, at least you should be wise in your own conceit, that the blindness in part has happened unto Israel until what? The fullness of the Gentiles come in. When the last person on this earth that has been called by God before the foundation of this world believes the gospel, and when that happens, we're gone. That's when God's going to come back. That's when Jesus comes back in the rapture. We're going to take us home, and then he's going to deal with the Jews and all the non-believers in the tribulation. And it's going to be 7.5 years of horrible tribulation. And it's going to be a lot of Jews are going to believe. And let me show you that. Turn back to Zechariah. You know, go back to Matthew. Go then Malachi. You're going back to the left in Zechariah chapter 13. The second book before you get to Matthew. 13, Zechariah 13, look what it says, verse 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land that saith the Lord, two parts of it shall be cut off and die, but a third part shall be left in it. And I will bring the third part through fire, and will refine them like silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. 2/3 of the Jews were going to be killed during the tribulation period, and 1/3 of them, which would be about 5,000. See, they've got about 15,000, about 5,000 or 5 million of them are going to be believers. See, God isn't done with them yet, and this has all been kept secret until this gospel has been taught. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16 again. Go back to Romans chapter 16 again. A fantastic verse. Romans chapter 16, the last book of Romans. Chapter. Let's look at verses 26. Now it is made manifest by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, hath made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. What is he talking about? The obedience of the faith. The gospel. This mystery that's been withheld. That's going to be what salvation is for today. The gospel. Believing the faith, put your faith in the gospel for your salvation. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and that was a total mystery until God revealed it to Paul. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians. And we'll show you how important this gospel is. Go to Colossians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verses. Let's look at verses 21. It says, and you were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. See, he reconciled us by his death on that cross. It'll tell you that in 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, through his death on that cross, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. Because of his death on that cross, he paid for our sins. We can stand before God totally holy, totally unblameable, totally nothing we unreprovable. Nothing because of what we did. It's because of what God did, what Jesus did on that cross. He paid for our sins. We're going to stand perfect. But there's an if here. And this is the if that has ruined the world. It says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of what? The gospel. The gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, and which I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel. It's the only way that you're going to be able to stand before God, is believe the gospel. It says it right there in words that a fifth grader could understand it. And probably a second grader. It's just fantastic. It's hard to even comprehend. Let's talk about the obedience of the faith. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. And let's look at it. Colossians and then 1 Thessalonians. And then 2 Thessalonians, and let's look at verses 7. 2 Thessalonians, it says, verses 7. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 7. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. When is that? That's when he comes back. Just after the tribulation, when he comes back, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. If you don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do they mean by obey the gospel? Well, when Jesus told the gospel to Paul, that his death, burial, and resurrection is salvation for the church. And the church goes and does something different, like believing in Jesus or taking Jesus as your Savior. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. When he does something different, you're not obeying the gospel. We're looking at what he did on that cross for our salvation. We're looking for what he died on that cross and that he was buried and he rose from the... That's salvation for the church today. But when you don't obey it, obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's a pretty good reason to believe the gospel, I would say. Pretty good reason. And if this doesn't scare you to death, let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Back to Romans. And we'll look at chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And let's look at verses 16. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ. When is that? When does he do this judging? This is the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. That's when God will judge every non-believer from Adam to the last person on this earth. Every non-believer is going to stand before him, and they're going to open up the books, and they'll find that their name is not there, and they will go directly to the lake of fire. What are they going to be judged by? By Paul's gospel. By Paul's gospel. Think about that. Think of the millions of so-called believers today who believe Jesus as their Savior, put Jesus in their heart. They're going to be standing in that line, and God's just going to, he'll just drop a scroll down that says, believe the gospel. Did you believe this gospel? And they'll say, well, yeah, we believed it for your salvation. And none of them will say they did. You see, I never knew that the gospel was salvation. I never ever heard it taught in my whole life, and I've been in church in my whole life. I never knew it was salvation. I was always taught to put my trust in Christ as my Savior. But that's not the gospel. And when I finally decided that isn't the gospel, and I told God it wasn't, and that I believed this, the gospel, that Christ died for my sins, that I was buried and rose from the dead, when I believed that, man, I was filled with the Holy Spirit right then. I never had it before in my whole life. He opened up my mind to like I can't even comprehend. I can study the Word for 10 hours a day and never even think about it. I can see things I've never seen before. My life has totally changed around. Total new priorities in my life. And the main priority in my life is to teach the gospel so that some of my so-called Christian friends can be saved. And I work at it day and night to do so. And I continue as long as God gives me the ability to do it. Because it's His work that's going through me, not mine. It's He's doing it, not me. Fantastic verse. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians, go to the right, through Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13. And this, I want you to really listen to this and really, really do what this verse says. I was in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. And look what it says. Verses 5. It says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove yourself. Know ye not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you? Do you know that Jesus is living in you? In other words, do you have the Holy Spirit? Is God working in your life and walking with you every day? Have you become a whole new creation? Old things have passed away and all things become new? If he's not, he says, you're discredited. That's proof of salvation, that you believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Christ moves in and lives with you. It's just beyond my imagination what it has done to me when the Holy Spirit came into my life. And it's just something that you've got to examine yourself. It's tremendously important. Look at Romans. Let's go over in 2 Corinthians. Just turn over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You've heard this many times, but there's some of you haven't, and it's tremendously important. This is why that people don't believe the gospel. It says, but if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. This is chapter 4, verses 3. If our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. That means that if you don't believe the gospel, you're lost. I didn't say it. The book did. In whom the God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan is. Satan's the God of this age, and hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine upon him. He's blinded those that believe not. Believe not what? The gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, he said he didn't want you to know the gospel. He blinded you to the gospel. Satan has. So that you won't see that this image of the Lord, the gospel, who is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to shine upon them. Satan is involved in it tremendously. He's blinded the people to the gospel. Why does he doesn't want you to know the gospel? Because it's salvation. He don't want anybody to be saved. He points to Judaism and the churches all he can. He's in all the churches, ministers of righteousness, they're called. And he's in there all the time. He's there. Let me show you. We're in 2 Corinthians. Just turn over here to chapter 11. Let me show you how Satan is involved. Look at verses 13. Look at verses 13. For it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These are people, Satan's people, are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Do you ever hear a preacher on TV and it's all he talks about is Jesus, 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 believe in Jesus and thank you, Jesus, and all that, and never mention the work of the cross? Who do you think he is? He's an apostle of Christ. Yeah. Satan's apostle of Christ. He's pointing you to Judaism for salvation. He's not pointing to the cross. If your pastor isn't, when was the last time that your pastor stood up and says, and quoted 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. When did you ever hear that happen? You know, I've never heard it in my life. When did you ever have a preacher come up and say, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul states the gospel just as plain as day. He says, I'm here to give you the gospel by which you are saved. And it goes on to say that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. When have you heard that from your preacher? And then he said, turn to Ephesians 1:13 and says, when you believe this gospel of your salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you believe the gospel, you see, you only get the gospel when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you only get that gospel when you believe it. You have to believe the gospel in order to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you can't be saved unless you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's plain and simple. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. Turn over here to Romans chapter 8 and look what it says. Romans chapter 8, verses 9. Romans chapter 8, verses 9. Look what it says. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If ye so be that the Spirit dwells in you. Is the Spirit dwelling in you? Ask that question. Is it dwelling in you? Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is none of his. You're lost. And the churches that are, and the only way you get this Spirit is to believe the gospel. It's just as plain as day in the Scriptures to believe the gospel. And if you know, I've been hunting for I don't know how long to find a church that truly teaches the gospel. Because there's nothing else to teach in any church. Because, you see, when you believe the gospel, when that Holy Spirit comes into you, you have God living in you. And He'll open your eyes. And you can understand the Word as good as anybody in the world. Because you're looking through the eyes of Christ when you look in the book. It made all the difference in the world to me. I've studied so hard all my life and never could really study. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, and let me show you why I couldn't do it. Just turn back to, turn up to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Romans and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 14. And this is what I was all my life. It says, "And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they were spiritually discerned." You see, I was in the church all my life, and I was spiritually discerned because I couldn't understand the Word of God. I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried, wore out two Bibles trying to. But the second I believed the gospel, God opened my eyes, and I've been in the Bible for 8 or 10 hours every day ever since. And I understand it. It's just beyond my imagination. And my life has totally has changed. Totally has changed around. And I just praise God for that. I praise God for that. So, we see the mystery of the gospel. It never was given to anybody until Paul revealed it. And that salvation for the church today. Salvation, and no other place has it ever said. Paul never once said salvation was based on believing in Jesus. Never once did he say that. Salvation is looking to the cross. Paul says, I didn't come to baptize, I came to preach the gospel, that the cross would be not come of no effect. That's the important thing. We add nothing to the gospel, or the cross become no effect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel, for our salvation through the gospel, and I pray that you open the eyes of the people that can understand the importance of the gospel so that they can be saved. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.